Peter Welch, the only congressman from all of Vermont. There are two senators, one congressman, and you're it. Welcome.
Well, good to be with you, Alan.
You keep advocating lower prescription drug costs. Does that have a better chance of coming to fruition now that the Democrats control both houses and the White House?
Well, it does. And in fact, the high cost of prescription drugs is really an indicator of the biggest problem we have in healthcare, and it's the high cost of healthcare. Prescription drugs have been the most outrageous. And there's always been Democratic support to bring down prescription drug prices. Ironically, President Trump, he had a good proposal. It was called reference pricing, where we in the United States would not be paying two, three, four times the amount that people in, say, England or France or Germany are paying for the same drug. So the reference pricing is that, hey, we'll pay the average of what these major industrialized nations pay. I advocated for that. President Trump wasn't able to get past the Republican Senate to do that. But now we've got a Democratic Senate, and we've got a Democratic president, and frankly, I am all in favor of that reference pricing idea that President Trump had advocated. That would save billions and billions of dollars for Americans and stop the ripoff. So, yes, I think we can finally make progress on this.
Peter Welch, the next COVID relief package, that's the top priority right now, right?
That's correct.
Is it going to happen?
Well, it is. It is going to happen. Keep in mind that with the COVID relief package, we're talking about something the entire country needs. And this is the discussion I have with many of my Republican colleagues. I mean, the people in their districts need to be vaccinated just like the people in Vermont. The small businesses in their districts or the performance venues in their districts need help just like they do in Vermont. So our relief package, I think, is going to focus, first of all, on making certain that we have the vaccine. The president's already using the Defense Production Act to make sure that production is ramped up. Then we've got to get money to the states to help distribute it with a specific plan of how to do that. So it's going to be vaccine. That's essential. But in the meantime, there's still economic dislocation. So continuation of paid family leave or paid quarantine particularly frontline workers, help to the states to get the vaccine distributed. On the economic side, the continuation of aid for small businesses who have to get to the other side where the vaccine is waiting and we can go back to normal. So all of these elements that are part of the ambitious proposal of President Biden, $1.9 trillion package, I think is essentially important to the entire country.
Let's talk a little bit about Obamacare. Obviously, you know, the Democrats are back in control. There'll be some fixes from some of the things that Trump tried to do to the program. But the Democrats are already fracturing. There are some who are saying, pass universal health care right now. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know that the president thinks it can happen. What do you think?
Well, number one, we have to protect Obamacare. And in fact, we managed to do that under the withering assault during the Trump administration for 4 years. Second, we have to make it more affordable so that folks who are in that really painful place where they are just they have a little too much income to get much of a subsidy, those folks need some help. But then the next step is got to focus on the cost of health care, prescription drugs we've been discussing. But overall, we pay in this country oftentimes twice as much or 60% as much more than health care in other countries like Great Britain, like France, like Germany, like Switzerland, where their health outcomes are, in fact, better than ours. So we've got to focus on that. And Medicare for All, that really is a commitment that all of us are covered and all of us have to help pay. And I think we can eventually get there. You know, we have Medicare right now for all if you're 65 or older. Well, a lot of us want to, in this journey to have universal health care, thinking, hey, bring down that age of eligibility to like 50 and bring up the age of eligibility to Medicaid. So we can get there. It's not going to be, obviously, the first item of business for the Biden administration. He's got to deal with COVID. He's got to deal with economic recovery. And he's got to protect what we do have in Obamacare.
Climate change is back on everybody's lips again. We're going to die sooner or later. It's going to be faster and faster and faster because we're not paying attention. Our kids will suffer, their kids will suffer, and their kids will suffer, and so on. Are we going to make any progress here?
A lot of progress. I mean, first of all, you know, we're back in the Paris Accords, and that's a symbolic but meaningful indication that we're going to participate actively in the effort to reduce carbon emissions. Secondly, what Biden understands, and I think this is what's going to be very, very helpful in this whole debate, he understands that we can make this a jobs program, and we need good jobs in this country, better wages. And the effort to undertake the steps we need to transition to a clean energy economy, you know, electric cars, battery storage, renewable energy, wind and solar, that all of these are steps that have an immense capacity to create jobs and wealth in our economy. And once we understand that and people can see it as something that is going to have immediate economic benefits, not pie in the sky goals, you're going to see, I think, more support for it. And also, one of the things I really respect about Biden is that he knows that we've got to help folks who are in, like, the coal industry. And I'm talking about the workers. You know, they've been keeping the lights on forever. And obviously, there's been a big loss of coal jobs, despite the rhetoric of President Trump, largely because of the market forces at work. But bottom line, as we move towards a clean energy economy, we've got to help those communities and those people who may be impacted by a change in direction and a change in the nature of our energy mix.
Let's talk a little bit about racial equity. There's no secret that people of color elected the president of the United States, helped elect him, and without them, it couldn't have happened. What does he owe them in terms of taking some of the injustices of the past and turning things around?
Well, he owes them, and he conveys to them dignity and respect and acknowledgement. And in fact, it was that endorsement from Jim Clyburn and then the vote in South Carolina and then the endorsement heard around the world. And what Jim Clyburn said is that we know Joe Biden, but he said, more importantly, Joe Biden knows us. So Joe Biden suffered. I mean, his has been a personal he's suffered personal losses, but he's got an empathy and a capacity, a moral imagination to know and appreciate what many of our black and brown communities have had to endure, particularly with systemic racism that we've had in this country since 1619 when that first slave ship arrived in Virginia. So that's real, and Joe Biden has acknowledged that. So I think at the core of everything he will be doing is about justice, and there's been justice delayed and justice denied for many of our brothers and sisters in the black and brown communities.
Running out of time here, but I did want to ask you about LIHEAP. As we speak here today, it's zero outside my window. So that's very, very cold. Fuel costs a lot of money. Some people don't have a lot of money. What do?
We continue to fund the low-income home heating assistance program because people are cold. And by the way, LIHEAP also helps with cooling, like in Arizona, because they've got a different problem from us. But it's really, really tough, and we've every year had a bipartisan effort to make certain that we avert, in the past 4 years, the proposed cuts by the Trump administration, and we've been successful in beating that back. So you're going to see a renewed effort to make certain that we fully fund and maybe add to funds for the LIHEAP program to keep folks warm and not make them choose between heat and food.
Okay, real last fast question. There's a mayoral race heating up in Burlington, but before town meeting day, March 2nd, do you support Mayor Weinberger for re-election?
Well, I don't get involved in, I haven't been involved directly in those races, but I've always really admired Moreau Weinberger. In fact, he grew up in Heartland, which is where I lived for many, many years. I went to school with my son. But the decision about who's going to be the mayor of Burlington obviously is up to the folks there.
And the decision that we make is to thank you profusely for continuing to come on Congressional Corner and be who you are. And we so admire you. Thanks so much for being with us, Peter Welch.
Thanks, Alan. I always enjoy it.